assuming that Allah is like that, you say, no, no, brother, was this the understanding of the tabi'een that they received from the Sahaba who were taught by the Prophet ﷺ? He says, no, but Shaykh such and such said. And his understanding of the language is real tight. And so you give up your deen. You give up your deen because of somebody's ability to speak, as we say, to rap the Arabic language. We give up guidance for that. We have to be careful. When we go back to our belief system, this is the methodology that we use. It is this silsila, this chain that we look at. And if it is not there and someone comes up in the later time and he says, you know what, it seems to be like this and it seems good. And we question him, he says, brother, you know, where did this understanding come from? And if his chain of narration is not correct, you know, you reject it. And this is safety and security for us. Because the Prophet ﷺ pointed out, he said, he drew a line in the ground with his companions. He says, you know, hadha sabilullah, this is Allah's path. He drew a straight line. And then he drew crooked lines or lines across the path. And he says, hadhi subul, these are different pathways. And at the top of every path, at the head of every path, there's a devil. And his name might be Abdullah. Listen to me. He's a devil and his name might be Muhammad. He's a devil and he might be called Abdul Jabbar. I hope no brother's name is Abdul Jabbar. We're not pointing out any brothers, huh? Hey, but the principle is there, brothers and sisters. Okay? And this is why Allah points it out. As-sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. Wal-ladhina tabi'uhum bi-ihsan radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Those forerunners in the deen, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, Allah is pleased with them. And if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us, He mentions here, and those who follow them in goodness. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. Now one of the things, brothers, then, that we understand is that obedience is due in the respect to aqidah, our belief system, in areas of ibadat, worship, acts of worship. All of those things we have to consider when we speak about obedience. Okay? And this is why when Imam Ahmad used to speak about the principles of the Sunnah, he used to point out this chain of narration. And this is how we believe. This is how we get our understanding based on this presentation. It has to go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the companions, those who received from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That understanding and that chain is necessary for us to be on guidance. Among the other things that we need to understand, where obedience is important, or that we need to consider, is that the Prophet ﷺ sometimes did things. And he pointed out that to do the opposite of this is wrong. Alright? And sometimes the Prophet ﷺ left things off when there was every opportunity to do something, but he left it off. And all indications are that it was done deliberately. When the Prophet ﷺ leaves off something deliberately, a part of the sunnah is to leave that thing off deliberately as well. What is Brother Fareed talking about? We need some examples. Let me give you an example of maybe two examples, and this is probably very, very important. And one of the scholars of old who deals with this in a very good way is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah in one of his books, Alam al-Waqi'een. And for those brothers who can read the Arabic, it is very good to go through it. It has a lot of good information for us, and it will benefit, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ, for example, was given the khutbah one day, Yawmul Jumu'ah. And Anas ibn Malik is narrating this. He said, the Prophet ﷺ was there in the masjid giving a khutbah. and a man entered the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ was standing, and this man stood up in front of the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah. Now this is Jumu'ah. Brother enters the masjid, stands up. The Prophet ﷺ is addressing the people and he said, Ya Rasulullah. هلكت الأموال وانقطعت السبل فادعوا الله يغفنا. O Messenger of Allah, our wealth is destroyed. The pathways have been closed. You know, no trade is coming. The rain is gone. The crops and everything have been destroyed. Supplicate to Allah, He will send rain down. He shall do this. The Prophet ﷺ turned around and he raised his hands up. Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna, Allahumma aghithna. Oh Allah, send rain down. Cause rain to come. Cause rain to come. Anas ibn Malik, he says, Wala wallahi, I swear by Allah, Ma kana fi sama min sahabin wala qaza'a. There was not a cloud in the sky, not even a piece of cloud. When this man came, there was nothing in the sky. وَمَا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ السَّلْعِ مِنْ بَيْتٍ وَلَا دَارٍ. And there was nothing between us and that mountain in Medina, nothing. We could see the sky. He said, and after the Prophet ﷺ made this supplication, a cloud came from over the mountain. Until it entered, it stopped in the middle of the sky, right over Medina, and then it spread out. And rain started to come down. And Anas ibn Malik, he goes on and he says, He says, Wallahi, ma ra'ayna shamsa sabtan. He said, for the whole period of a week almost, we did not see any sunshine. In other words, the rain continually came down. Until the following Jumu'ah, a person came from that same door, and he stood up at the door of the masjid and said, Ya Rasulullah! هلكت الأموال وانقطعت السبل فادعوا الله يمسكها عنا. يا رسول الله, our wealth is being destroyed. The pathways are closed. Too much barakah. The rain is coming too much. Pray to Allah to stop it. He says, فرفع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يديه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم again did what? He raised his hand. He raised his hand and he started to supplicate, Allahumma hawalayna wala alayna, Allahumma ala al-akami wa-dhirabi wa-butun al-awdi awdiya wa-manabit al-shajar. Oh Allah, on the hillocks and the mountains, the valleys and the bases or the bottom of the trees. Anas ibn Malik said, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated like this, in some of the narrations it says that wherever he pointed, the clouds went. Min alamat al-nubuwa, signs of his prophethood. He says, and we left that place walking out in the sunshine. Now a person comes and he says, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went when this man came in and he asked for him to pray for rain, and he raised his hands up on this day. So every Jumu'ah, when we supplicate, we are going to raise our hands up. And they're not looking at the sunnah the way it is supposed to be looked at. Was this a continual practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or did he do it on this occasion alone? What he did occasionally like this for some specific reason, then we are supposed to follow him in that. We're supposed to follow him in that. Otherwise, to make that a continual practice, we are not obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're not following his sunnah. We're not following his sunnah. And this is why Umar ibn Ru'ayba criticized Bishr ibn Marwan when he, on Yawm al-Jum'ah, raised his hands up, and he started to supplicate, and he says, قَبَّحَ اللَّهُ هَاتَيْنَ الْيَدَيْنَ. Of course, you wouldn't, you know, you might, in this day and time, you might not want to get up in the masjid where this is done and say, brother, may Allah disgrace your hands. You know, we have some people from the hood, and know some of the brothers understand what that means. If you get up in the masjid like that, unless you're a real good fighter, or you got a good pair of legs, you might get hurt. You need to use some wisdom. Okay? We need to use some wisdom when dealing with issues. You don't just get up and try to criticize everybody, man, that is doing wrong right like that out in the open. The man is giving the khutbah. Everybody's listening to him. He might not know that this is not to be done. And there might be a difference of opinion according to the scholars, whatever there is. But you want to discuss it to him or with him in a way where he is receptive. You want to have him listen to you. Perhaps you might be right. Perhaps you might be wrong. But what you know of the Sunnah, this is what you know. This was the practice. This was not the practice. So you want to deal with him as a brother who might have committed a wrong. But you don't want to try to disgrace him. You don't want to make him feel bad. That's not your intent. You want to have him come over to the practice of the Sunnah, so you want to do it in a way that is acceptable to him. Something that is pleasing. Don't you see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed Musa and Harun to go to Fir'aun, who claimed uluhiyah for himself, that he was Allah, said, speak to him in a gentle way. Why? Because human nature is that when you show kindness, most of the time, people are receptive. They would at least listen to you. But if you go up in the front of a person and you start screaming and shouting in his face, you're in trouble. First of all, they don't want to hear you. Okay? So one of the things is that when the Prophet ﷺ left off something, and there was every opportunity for this thing to be done, and he left it off in what is indicated, that it was left off deliberately, we leave it off deliberately. Okay? For example, another example of that is the hadith that we have, and this is from Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, where the Prophet ﷺ said, "Innal mu'min," the believer, when he meets another believer, and he greets him, "Assalamu alaykum," and he takes his hand and he shakes it, before they turn away, their sins fall down, just like leaves fall off a tree, you know, the dry leaves, just like that. Anas ibn Malik was questioned, "Akanat al-musafahatu fi ashab Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," did the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ever shake hands? He said, yes. A person comes now and he says, "Man, look, you know, you heard about the barakah and the blessings of shaking hands? Look, after every salat, let us turn to the brother on the side and say, Asalaamu Alaikum, taqabbal Allahu minka." And it becomes a practice. You say, well, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that if you meet your brother and you shake his hands, that your sins fall down. So we want to do this after every salat. Every brother turns to the other brother, no matter if you just met him, and you say, Asalaamu Alaikum, and you might add, like we said, taqabbal Allah. The question here is, was this done during the time of the Prophet ﷺ in respect to this act of ibadah? Nah, brother, but it feels good. Was it something that the companions did after them? Nah, brother, but the barakah. Look, be sure, have no doubt that there is no barakah in misguidance. There is no blessing in innovation. Even though it might feel good. You know, people who sit in a group and they do some things and they say, man, it feels good. Our deen is not based on what we feel. It's based on the authentic teachings that we find in the Sunnah and the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us. And what was left off by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when there was every opportunity in that act of worship, then we should not make it a part of that act of worship. And this is obedience to the Prophet ﷺ. This is an aspect of obedience. And we see this all over. We see it all over. All you have to do is travel to the different masjids. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us about Surah Al-Fatiha and the blessings of it. A person says, look man, after the Salat, let everybody raise their hand. You. Because if it was done, it would have been conveyed to us. It would have been found somewhere in the books that it was done. But the fact that we have no evidence shows that it was not acted upon. And so, the things that the Prophet ﷺ left aside, we're supposed to leave aside. That he deliberately left aside, we're supposed to leave aside. That is an aspect of obedience. That is an aspect of obedience. Finally, one of the things that we need to know is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he makes something specific, and he says this is for that occasion, and that occasion alone, then we're not to say it is to be done at all times. You're not being obedient when this is done. Okay? You're not being obedient when that is done. For example, look, there is a discussion about music and musical instruments and whether or not it's lawful or not. But we're going to take the position, because of the ahadith that we have, that the musical instruments, they're not lawful. You're not supposed to be a Muslim musician, okay? Playing your saxophone or your trumpet and your drum and saying that you're giving Islamic da'wah. The Prophet ﷺ prophesied that there will become a time, there shall come a time when some of the people from this nation will seek to make lawful those things. Alright? يَسْتَحِلُّونَ الْمَعَازِفِ along with some other things, these musical instruments. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ points out that something is generally haram, and you find an exception, for example, the hadith that we find in Bukhari and Muslim and others, where the Prophet ﷺ was in his room, and the two young girls were beating the doof. And the doof is like a tambourine without the little jingles around it. Alright? Hollow on one side like that. And the person says that the Prophet ﷺ said it's alright to do it. And especially if you have a bad translation of Bukhari, it says musical instruments. It says it in the hadith in Bukhari that musical instruments on Eid is alright. And so you find that the sisters be up on stage singing and the brothers be just like the days before Islam. And everybody swaying, trying to control themselves to be a little bit Islamic. Alright? But the problem with that is a lack of understanding of how the two narratives relate. In the narrative, the first narrative, where the Prophet ﷺ basically indicated that musical instruments, that those things are not lawful, that's a general statement. Here in this particular narration, where Abi Bakr came in, and he says, أَبِي مِزْمَارِ فِي بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِزْمَارِ الشَّيْطَانِ فِي بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ the flutes of the devil in the Prophet's house, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something that is very important. He said, "Da'huma ya Abu Bakr, fa innaha ayyam Eid." This here, this statement, fa innaha, the ulama, when they look at this statement, it shows the reason why you are to leave them alone. In other words, he says, leave them alone because on this day, this special time, you're allowed to do that in this way. That is an exception to the law and it's not the rule. To make it a rule is to go against the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ and to be involved in disobedience. He, the Prophet ﷺ, says, فَإِنَّهَا, this is what they call أَسَلِيبِ الْعِلَّةِ. Yani it shows the reason why the law is there. Because of such and such, leave it alone.
In other words, if this was not the case, it would be unlawful for the brothers and the sisters to be involved in this. And of course, they were little girls. And it was the sisters who used to beat the doof, not the brothers. Okay? And you would be considered something else in that day and time, a brother walking around swinging and swaying, beating the doof. Alright, so that is something else. But the understanding, the principle here, brothers and sisters, is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out something specific, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam points out that something is to be done on occasions, we don't make it general. Because that is an act of disobedience. And you come under the warning of this hadith, all of my nation shall enter paradise, except the one who refuses. It comes under that. You are disobedient here when you do not follow the sunnah the way the Prophet ﷺ taught it to his companions. So when he makes something specific, we leave it as specific. We don't try to generalize it. Okay, and this can be found in other areas of fiqh, but that example, because of our time, we'll have to do. Alright? Now, so, what do we have? Obedience, then, is a little bit more extensive than just saying, okay, we hear that the Prophet ﷺ said that such and such is to be done, such and such is to be done. But we need to understand the dynamics of the hadith. We need to go to the explanations of the narrative, or to seek help with someone who knows, so that we get some type of understanding of what is meant, what is intended behind the textual evidence that we have. Because people have been picking up, you know, alhamdulillah, for what we have in translations. We are now getting some very good translations. Alright? But previously, we have had a lot of mistakes being done because the brothers and sisters were reading the book and there was a mistranslation. Like that particular translation of the doof, meaning musical instrument. Of course, if you read that, it means that you could get your guitar, you could get your sax, you could get your bongos, your congos, and you could throw down on E. Okay? But that is not the case. That is not the case. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. All of my nation shall enter paradise, except the one who refuses. The one who refuses to follow him, the one who refuses to obey him in respect to his practices, in respect to his belief system, in respect to the understanding that he left with his Sahaba. All of those areas are areas where a person can refuse. And we have to be careful not to fall into that category. We need to be careful not to fall into that category. I think my time is up, and my voice is almost gone. But that's it. SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, shalawatullahi wa barakatuh.